JC Corcoran Podcast.
I wanted to be a doctor when I went to college. A few things got in my way. Calculus, physics, biology, zoology, chemistry, organic chemistry, reading, spelling, comprehension, behavior, aptitude, attitude, and talent. I have but one medical legacy I could leave. It would make my late father so happy. One time I was playing my harmonica, I just put it in my mouth and breathed, and it played a tune that reflected my breathing, you know. I thought to myself, this would make a hell of a nurse's aide. A guy is sick in the hospital, a nurse could put one of these in his mouth, hear how he's breathing, go away, play cards. You need a Bob Dylan neck brace, you know, to hold it. Any problem, she hears right away, musically. Dr. Klein, Code Blue, Dr. Moe, Dr. Larry, Dr. Curly. And it's much more personal than beep, 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 beep. Don't you agree? If you should happen to expire, that's the word they use in hospitals when you die. Expire, a man or a library card. It makes you think you could have done something. I told you to renew Newsweek and Uncle Irv. Now he's expired. If you expire with the Robert Klein breathing detection device, in you, it ends on a very appropriate cadence. You know, I mean, it's appropriate for the end of a life. You know what I mean?
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that. Say, I've heard it all before. It's like deja vu all over again.
Tuesday, January 25th, 2022. 288 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. How you doing? It's JC. You're at jcontheline.com, but you already know that. The place where we call people what they are. Sort of like Biden calling Peter sort of like Biden calling Peter Ducey a stupid son of a bitch yesterday. By the way, he called him last night. Biden called up Peter Ducey and said, I, you know, called you a stupid son of a bitch. You're not stupid. Oh, God. Maybe we have less than 288 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. All right, big day in Major League Baseball today on a couple of different levels. The Major League Baseball owners and players met yesterday for a couple of hours. Their first meeting was, I think they said, 8 minutes long, and that did not bode well for the Major League Baseball season of 2022. But they had a nice meeting yesterday. Multiple proposals were exchanged, and apparently things went so well and encouraging that they're meeting again today. They better get moving because they started selling spring training tickets yesterday, and there's going to be a lot of people holding tickets to games that aren't going to happen otherwise. And while that's going on, they're going to let us know later on today whether Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, and Curt Schilling are going to make it into the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. Today is their final, well, this is their last year of eligibility, and the announcement comes today, and we're going to see how this whole thing plays out. There's some speculation, as I pointed out yesterday, that this was by design by the Baseball Writers Association of America, is to let these guys twist during the steroids era. Let them twist, let them think they're not going to get in, and then in the final year of eligibility, go, okay, fine, we're letting you in. Clearly, Barry Bonds had Hall of Fame numbers before he did the whole steroids thing, and Roger Clemens and Curt Schilling, people just don't want him around. You know, the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame guys, I mean, that's an exclusive club. Take that bloody sock and shove it in your mouth, Kurt. I went to buy beef the other day. I'm assuming that all of you have attempted to buy beef sometime in recent weeks. And now you find out that only four companies control 85% of all the beef production in the United States. I had no idea. And their profits tripled during the pandemic. So Biden, a couple of days ago, said, are you guys sure you're not gouging us and that's the problem here and it's not got anything to do with inflation or anything weird doing in the White House? You know, your profits tripled during the pandemic and it's the same four companies controlling all but 15% of beef production. Like, maybe that's the problem. Eric Schmidt, Attorney General, State of Missouri, continuing to go off here. He apparently is unaware that surgeons wear masks during surgical procedures, and it goes on for hours and hours and hours. Sometimes you hear these stories of somebody having to have a hand or something reattached, and that the surgery lasts for like 18 hours, and that everybody in that operation room been wearing a mask for 18 hours, and they all come out of it okay. But Eric don't care. As a matter of fact, I watch a lot of MeTV at night, and the reason is because I usually have the news on all day long, and it finally gets about like 7 or 8 o'clock at night, and I just reach the point where I can't listen to any more of this. I just can't take any more of it. I want something completely and totally mindless. So I sit there and I watch Gomer Pyle, and I watch the Andy Griffith Show, and I watch, what's the other thing that's on? Hogan's Heroes. You know, John Banner, Colonel Klink, and Werner Klemperer, those guys were tremendous comedic actors. Boy, I forgot how good they were. So I'm watching all that stuff. And last night, I catch one of the old black, it might have been from the first year of the Andy Griffith Show. It was still in black and white at that time. And there was a different Floyd. The guy who played Floyd was not on the show. It was some other guy. I had never seen that before. How desperate do I sound right now? I'm sitting here watching shows from the 60s. But I'm serious. It's great mindless stuff. Totally mindless stuff. Oh, you know what I did watch last night? I wanted to see. I didn't even understand. I think yesterday when I was talking about it, I thought it was like a singing show or something. That's My Jam, this Jimmy Fallon thing that's on Monday nights on NBC. I wanted to know what the show was because somebody said, JC, you don't know what you're talking about. It's like, all right, you're right. I don't. So let me watch a little bit of it. And the other reason I watched is I really like Nikki Glaser. And she was one of the guests on the show last night. And get this, even though it's not a singing show, there are segments during the show where they do sing. And who knew? Nikki Glaser can sing.
The thing that makes me, that the guys go crazy for, they lose their minds the way I whine. I think it's time. La, 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 la. Warm it up. La, 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 la. The boys are waiting. The milkshake brings all the boys to the yard. And they're like, it's better than yours. Damn right, it's better than yours.
I know she's just sort of half fooling around there, but that's not bad. That's not bad. She's one of the hottest things in show business right now, coming right out of Kirkwood. It's unbelievable. Nikki Glaser. I've never gotten this whole jackass thing, and now you're finding out that years later, these guys really hurt themselves doing that show. Steve-O has a delusional version of how he plans to break free from his jackass persona. He says he wants to go on a final tour where he gets breast implants, a penis tattooed over his eyebrow, and have a bullet shot through his open jaw. That's not a TV show. That's a death wish. In NBC Super Bowl 56 logo, the Roman numerals LVI have red palm trees in them, but people think it looks like blood dripping down the letters. One person called it CSI Super Bowl, and another one said it looks like a promo for Dexter. Things haven't gotten any better at Red Robin. I ate at a Red Robin on Saturday, I think it was, because right at the beginning of the first football game, my daughter and her friend decide they got to go to the mall. I'm like, your timing is fantastic. So I'm like, okay, be a good dad. I don't want to be the dad sitting there watching football and know you can't go to the malls. I'm like, I'll go to the mall. I'll drop them off there. And then like, nah, they're only 12. I can't do that. I got to stay in the building. So, there's a restaurant. There's going to be a restaurant somewhere that's showing the football game. So I'll just watch there. So it turns out the only place that was doing that was Red Robin. So I walk in, two ladies there, you know, working the front door, and I walk in, and they're like, hi, welcome to Red Robin. I'm like, okay, I think I'm going to just go sit in the bar area. Oh, okay, fine. And they sort of walk me halfway over there. I know the way to the bar, and I go and I sit down. Well, the only TV they have at the bar is like straight above my head, but it needed another, you know, neck operation looking straight up for an hour while they're running around the mall. So I just back off a little bit, and they have some little, those high tables with the high chairs that are a couple of feet back from the bar. So I sit down there. I'm there like maybe 15 minutes. Nobody has come to the table yet, which I'm fine with because I don't really want to eat at Red Robin. I still remember this. It was me and Carl the intern, and I think it was Lynn Venhouse, who does a lot of movie review stuff on radio and some TV and stuff like that in town. And there was some movie that ended early, and we were all hungry, and we're like, well, let's just go over to Red Robin. It's like right next door from the Creve Coeur Cinema right there on Manchester. And so we just sort of walk across the parking lot and go in. Well, I don't think they were happy to see us because it was maybe 20 minutes before closing and we come, you know, sauntering in, and they just sort of looked at us like, we're trying to clean up and you're going to order food. Ah, shit. So I ordered some sort of chicken breast, and this thing, I swear to God, it was like trying to eat a catcher's mitt. And not only was it tough, the whole thing was disgusting. And I just said to myself, I'm never going to a Red Robin again. First of all, the prices are too high. It's not that great. They get away with this, you know, family restaurant bullshit, and it's the whole thing is a big crock. So where do I end up on Saturday afternoon at Red Robin again, attached to the mall? So I'm sitting there, and so nobody has come by. Finally, instead of what you usually get is some little girl in her late teens or early 20s coming over to the table. Walking over to my table is some dude who's about 65 years old, and he starts giving me grief. It's like, you can't just walk in and sit down. Look, these two gals over at the front door, they walked me over here. And he starts arguing with me about it, saying that, well, that couldn't have happened. And I give this guy an icy stare as if to say, what are you, you're the principal of Red Robin or something? Beat it. And I don't know what's going on at that place, because one other time I had gone to Red Robin and I just started dating this girl, and she had a son who was almost the exact same age as my daughters at the time, which was probably about maybe 6 years old, something like that. So we're like, well, let's go to Red Robin. I'll meet you there. You bring your son. I'll bring my two daughters, and we'll just sort of have like an attempt at a family afternoon early dinner here. We'll see how things go. We were very much still getting to know one another, and this was a big step. It's a big step when you introduce somebody you're dating when you're, you know, you've been divorced, and now you start dating somebody, and now you're introducing that person to your already existing family. It's sort of a big deal. So everybody went around, the kids ordered their, you know, the grilled cheese sandwiches and their chicken strips and the whole thing. And this guy who's our server with a backwards baseball cap comes over, and he's taking the order, and they come to me, and I had eaten already that day, so I wasn't that hungry. And I ordered some sort of salad, you know, some avocados in it or something like that. I finished the order, and this guy says, and I'm telling you, God's honest truth here, he says to me, that's what you're going to get? That's for girls. And again, I look at this guy like, are you fucking kidding me? So I think there's some sort of training issue at Red Robin, but I'll tell you this, I will never go in again. I don't care if it is the only place showing the football game. Fuck it, I'm not going into one of those places anymore. I was going to do the story yesterday. I totally forgot about it. Brian Laundrie, remember the guy who murdered his girlfriend after the, you know, coast-to-coast trip in the van? They found his old diary, and he cops to the whole thing, admits that he strangled Gabby Petito. And again, that's one of those crimes, a crime of passion there. When you, it's like OJ, when you stab somebody, you got to come right up to him and stab him. And the same thing with strangling, you got to go right up to him. It's not like you can shoot him with a gun from the other side of the room. It's a very, very personal thing. And the scary part about the whole thing is that women in this country need to be more vigilant about their husbands and boyfriends than they need to be concerned with a random attack. You know, the NRA and the people who want to run around with guns all the time. If you want a gun, go ahead. I don't care if you have a gun. Nobody's coming for your guns. If you want to have guns, you go ahead. What I don't like is the way they sell the idea to you, though, because it's always the random attack. The guy who's going to break into your house in the middle of the night, and you got to sleep with a gun and the whole thing. It's like, well, not according to the statistics. According to the statistics, you're almost never going to be hit by a random attack, but you do have to watch out for your husband and your boyfriend because the numbers support the idea that that's your major threat in this country. I see that Amazon is hiring meteorologists now because the Amazon warehouse got hit by the tornado there a couple of months ago, and it sounds like somebody's trying to mitigate lawsuit issues here. Oh, see what we've done, though? We have meteorologists now. My question is, what's the meteorologist going to do like the other 364 days of the year? Pretend he's a weatherman? Oh, and speaking of customer service, have you ever called one of those customer service lines and not been told that there's unusually high call volume? I'm calling bullshit on that, too. You know what it is? You've trimmed down your staffs so much that there's not enough people to handle the call volume. You're getting the same number of calls you used to get. Don't give me that bullshit like there's unusually high call volume. You will be on hold for 25 minutes. Hire more people. We were running long yesterday on the podcast, so I didn't get to mention these things. They were sort of important, and they were the anniversaries. It was yesterday. Yeah, yesterday was 2011 is when we took the girls to Sedona. If you have never had the opportunity to do that trip through Arizona, it's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. Like walking around, you feel like you're on Mars or something. The colors and the rock formations and everything. And then, you know, it's right down the street basically from the Grand Canyon, so you get to see that too. We did that trip and it was just one of the greatest vacations we ever took. This is one that I think I've only mentioned one other time before, and it was in 1984. I was still in Buffalo. It was right before I moved from Buffalo to St. Louis to take the Casey job. And so they send out a letter to everybody in the media going, we're going to have like an open house, going to have a free lunch at the Playboy Club. There's a Playboy Club in Buffalo, and it's a freebie. So come on down. And so we're not stupid. We figured, sure. Well, it turns out that one of the gals sauntering around in a little outfit and a little bunny tail there on her behind was one Miss Randy Naughton, as in Fox 2. Now, I've talked to Randy about this, and it's sort of funny because for a long time she thought that maybe this was going to hurt her career if people found out that she was a former Playboy bunny. And now, like 40 years later, I don't think she minds anybody knowing because let me tell you something. Randy looks great now and everything like that, but you have no idea how good she looked back in the middle of the 1980s. Good grief. So that was yesterday in 1984. 1989 was the last phone call I got in the middle of the night from Doug Gilmore's wife. Does everybody remember Doug Gilmore, St. Louis Blues? A little incident involving a 13-year-old babysitter or something like that. Maybe she was older. I don't know. Maybe she was 16. She was underage. Let's put it that way. As one St. Louis Blues executive once told me, with regard to Doug and Robin Gilmore, neither one of them could wait for the other one to go out of town. And she should call me. She's trying to pick me up at like 3 o'clock in the morning. She'd call me, you know, half in the bag. And I'm thinking to myself, well, this is a good way to get killed. And speaking of 1984, it was on that date yesterday in 1984 that I was sitting in Buffalo, New York, after I came back from that Playboy free lunch. I'm sitting there in a shitty apartment in Tonawanda, New York, just outside of Buffalo, and I pick up a copy of one of the broadcast trade magazines, and something caught my eye. They used to have what are called blind box ads, and I'm sure they have this in other industries, too. It's when somebody is looking to add staff or replace somebody. They're headhunting, basically. And so they put an ad in a trade magazine that says what the job is. You know, they describe the whole thing. What they don't tell you is what company it is or what city it's in. And what you do is you send your material. In this case, you know, you send a tape of your show and a resume and you send it to this thing, but you have no idea where it's being sent to. And then that goes to like a P.O. box. And then they forward it to the actual, in this case, the actual radio station. And this blind box ad said something about, you know, the Midwest and a big rock station. We're looking for a morning show. We want somebody funny, blah, 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 the whole thing. I'm like, well, that sounds interesting. So I sent it along. And a couple of weeks later, that's when I got the call about coming to St. Louis. Funny how things work out. Sales and streams of Meatloaf's music skyrocketed after his death. On Friday, his album sales were up by more than 18,000%. It's possible that his 1977 album, Bat Outta Hell, is going to jump back into the top 10 this week. Happens all the time. Late night tonight, Jamie Dornan and Imagine Dragons on with Jimmy Fallon, Kristen Bell on with Jimmy Kimmel, Joy Reid on with Colbert, Christina Ricci pops up with James Corden, and Seth Meyers has Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor. Wheel of Fortune has apologized to Benedict Cumberbatch because he was the answer to a puzzle, and Pat Sajak on the show said he didn't know who he was. Gotta get out more, Pat. Neil Young wants Spotify to remove all of his music unless they get rid of Joe Rogan. You fight the power, Neil. Cardi B won a libel suit against a blogger who said that she was a prostitute who did drugs and contracted STDs. Sounds like something the Gateway Pundit would do. Bob Dylan sold his catalog, his music catalog, to Sony Music. They reportedly paid him between $150 and $200 million. Birthdays today, Ariana DeBose. Saw her host Saturday Night Live a couple of weeks ago. She plays Anita in West Side Story, the Steven Spielberg remake, 32 today. Alicia Keys, gorgeous, fine musician, does absolutely nothing for me, 41 today. And an actress by the name of Mia Kirshner. Now, she played Spock's mom on Star Trek Discovery and the assassin Mandy on 24 and also Jenny on The L Word. I interviewed her when she was about 22 years old. And although she was wearing a ton of makeup, she was awfully, awfully good looking. She's 47 today. 75 years ago today, 1947, Al Capone, on the verge of a syphilitic insanity situation, died of neurosyphilis in Miami Beach, Florida. He was only 48. Mary Tyler Moore died on this date 5 years ago in 2017. She was 80. If you have an involuntary cringe reaction to certain stories or things that you hear, you might not like this one. A 19-year-old guy in England says he doesn't have any nipples anymore after accepting a dare that involved spraying them with two full cans of Axe body spray. He says the cold froze them and his friend flicked them and they just broke right off. A jail in Mississippi got a fax this month that said an inmate was up for release. Turned out the inmate's girlfriend sent it, and now she's heading to jail too. A Michigan teacher is suggesting that we give students hockey pucks to help protect themselves in the event of an active shooter. And 59%, I find this amazing. Not so much that people are doing it, but that it's almost two-thirds of everybody's working right now. 59% of Americans have their I quit letter ready to go, just in case today ends up being the day. New research shows drinking red wine might reduce your chances of contracting COVID-19. People who consumed five or more glasses of red wine a week had a 17% lower risk of catching the virus. The CEO of the identity protection firm LifeLock once gave out his social security number in ads to prove how effective the service was. Well, his identity was stolen 13 times, and the company was fined $12 million for false advertising. Sounds about right. And I haven't done this in a while. We're going to do it today. You know, I sort of pride myself on having been on the front end of some people's explosive careers. And what I mean by that is sometimes I'll spot somebody and I'll say, that guy is going to be a star. Like right now, I've been telling everybody for the last 2 years that this guy on Saturday Night Live, Bowen Yang, is going to be a huge, huge star. You can just see it. And I'm not saying that I have any special powers or anything. I just observe things really well. Like I can tell you, this guy, Steve Hartman, reporter for CBS News, pops up every Sunday morning on CBS Sunday morning and adds these human interest stories as the kicker to the CBS Evening News every once in a while. And we did an interview with him all the way back in 1998. I remember for that brief period of time that I was on KMOX, I spotted this guy by the name of Greg Kinnear, and he turned out to be a big star. Kathleen Madigan would be another one. And I could give you a lot more examples of situations where I saw somebody and said, this person is going to be huge. Let's get them on the air right now before they're too big to do our show. Let's get them now, because that's the name of the game. The name of the game is to, you're a struggling performer of some sort, whether you're a stand-up comedian or a singer or whatever it is, and you're just trying to get your exposure cranked up to new levels. And so you'll do anything. You cable access shows, anything, just to get your work out there so people find out who you are. And then after you get the Tonight Show or something like that, or you get your first movie, the game completely swings around 180 degrees to the point where now they don't want to do anything. They're too big, they're too important to do your show. So sometimes you got to get them at the front end of things or you're not going to ever get them. And thus was the case with this guy, because here does this go back to 2006. Because right now, when you say the name Bill Burr, pretty much everybody knows who he is. He's had all these tremendous, great comedy specials. He was opposite Pete Davidson in The King of Staten Island. Been doing TV shows, but it really still comes back to his stand-up comedy. He's done some great stuff.
You know what I love about George Bush? He makes me feel like I could be president too. Yeah. No, seriously. He's like the first guy from my reading level, the first guy from my math class, you know? He's just like me. He doesn't like to prepare. You know, that guy gives a speech. He just wings it. Just goes out on the White House lawn like, what are we talking about, hurricanes? All right. There was a hurricane. People are wet. No, he sounds like a little kid giving a book report who, like, didn't read the book. Like, he's just out there just, like, making up stuff. Some little kid out there like, there was a dog, and he bit somebody, and they didn't like it. Then we're talking about the Middle East and the problems over there, man. Why don't we just make a car that doesn't run on gas or oil? Then they'd all go broke, and we'd be cool. You know? You know what the problem is? We can't figure out how to make that car. Can't figure it out, which is amazing to me, because I can make a cell phone call in North Dakota, call somebody down in Florida. Dude, what are you doing? Me, I'm rubbing my ass. You don't believe me? Here's a picture. I can fax it down to him. He can text message me back what a loser I am, but they can't make this car. Can't figure it out. We just can't seem to get the doohickey into the widget. Yeah, once a year you see some redneck on TV. He figures out how to, like, make his truck run on, like, ketchup. You know? It's always something really simple. Like, I took a lawnmower blade, some turnip juice, I combusted it, stuck a deer antler in there, and there he goes down the street.
Do you think is dependent upon your delivery? Because I got to tell you something. You're one of those guys.
Jokes aren't well written.
Because I got to tell you, you're one of those guys who almost sounds like somebody who just jumped up on the stage, you know, and said, like, oh, wait, how did he get up there? Because you don't sound like everybody else who's working right now.
Oh, cool.
That's a compliment, by the way.
I was real nervous as you were getting in there. You sounded like just some guy who had no idea what he was doing. They just yanked him out of the crowd.
Jokes are terrible. It's all in his delivery. No,
he's horrific.
Very funny stuff, but you know what I mean. You sound like some guy they just pulled out of the crowd. And I think that's got to do with your appeal, I think.
Yeah, my lack of class. I'm an everyman.
We like that.
I didn't come from money.
Yeah, you're in good hands here. Talk about your family upbringing. big family?
Yeah. I got, what do I got? Four brothers and a sister.
You have to take a body count every once in a while?
Yeah, my sister didn't come along till later, so it was really an unbalanced family. Just like too much testosterone, you know. Just basically, we all beat the crap out of each other. My dad was screaming at us, and then we all took it out on the dog. We turned this little West Highland Terrier into like Cujo. We messed with this dog so much that anybody who came through the door who wasn't part of the family, no questions asked, he immediately just ran up to you and took a chunk out of your calf. He was an absolute psychopath.
And this is conditioning. And this is a terrier, by the way, not known for being aggressive animals, from what I recall.
Nah, bit me in the face one time. I had to get like stitches. Any psychologist who ever came into the house, all it would have to do is look at the family dog sitting over there shaking like a crackhead and would realize that we were kind of a messed up family. Yeah. A lot of love, though. Brady Bunch on crack, basically.
As you were, you know, I read something where you said that maybe it was like sixth grade or maybe even 6 years old. You had a pretty good idea that you were going to be doing something like this.
I was definitely leaning towards it. Well, one of the blessings in life was I kind of sucked at everything else, so it wasn't like I didn't really actually have an option. Like, maybe I'll be a scientist. I mean, I was terrible at everything. All I knew was I liked being funny, and every job I was picturing, like if I was a cop, I wanted to be a funny cop and let people go and stuff. Like this, I mean, I'm 8 years old thinking this, and after a while, I just
wanted to be a funny cop and let people go.
You know what actually solidified me wanting to be in show business was, I swear to God, one time when I was in high school, this mime came to school. And he was weird. He was like a mime, but he would talk in between his bits. And he went up there and he was doing all this mime stuff, all the hack stuff going down the stairs or whatever. But I don't know. I don't know how, but this dude was killing. And all the beautiful cheerleaders who I didn't have the nerve to talk to, they were all dying laughing. And I just remember sitting there going, like, I'm doing that.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm not going to be a mime, but whatever it is that guy's doing.
You know how many people became professional comedians or went into theater? Because they were like, wait a minute, I see the chicks going into the theater department all the time. All the best looking girls, all the earthy looking girls who let their hair just go wild, and it's like I'm figuring I would go where the chicks are.
Yeah, well,
this is what we do for you guys. We alter our
you sacrifice. We alter, and it still doesn't work, by the way.
We alter our entire destiny to be with you.
That's the reality, because I literally thought if I became a comedian, it was going to like save me, because I was just such a socially like a moron. I was just like, I'll just start telling jokes. Everyone will laugh and see what a great guy I am, and everything's just going to fall into place. And yeah, I just basically became a good comedian with still a completely screwed
the rest
up.
Is history, too. What I was looking at your stuff, because, I mean, you've had your own comedy specials. We played the theme from Letterman. You've been on Comedy Central, all sorts of stuff. You worked with Dave Chappelle. But then I see this Law and Order, Criminal Intent. What the hell was
that? Happened there?
I did one of the worst guest stars in the history of, what are they, like 19 Law and Orders?
Are you even an actor?
Yeah, Jesus. Yeah, I'm an actor. Yeah, I'm an actor. And when they let me do it,
yeah. You know, so you get a Law and Order. That's very impressive.
Yeah, I did a sitcom. We got canceled. Yeah, I can act.
I don't understand.
This guy's killing my career. You're like a guy they just dragged out of the audience. It's like, who won this contest? See, this guy's horrific.
What you have to understand is sometimes my compliments sound like insults. It's just
he does that to us all the time. For a fat guy, that's a compliment. Yeah.
That's how he gets chicks.
Right. I was going to say, how does that work out with the women? They're already really like sensitive.
Oh, that's a whole separate show.
Even
Bill.
If you know what you're doing,
that's
you can
a whole
still...
separate show. Yeah.
Exactly. So
let's talk about the Boston Red Sox here. Now, John and I went to Fenway Park for the first time 2 years ago. The whole Yanks and Beans thing, and you know, growing up in Chicago and being around Wrigley Field comes another insult. Being around Wrigley Field, I mean, I have an appreciation for the older ballparks, and we were fascinated by Fenway. But see, now I wouldn't want that to be my everyday ballpark.
Right.
It's cramped, and it's, I guess, if you're not...
Is this another weird compliment? Yeah. Just wait.
Yes, your ballpark looks
man
like
of the people, man of the people ugly, but I'll tell you, we had a great time up there.
Your team sucks.
Your delivery is odd, and your ballpark stinks. No, but it is one of those things where you got... Are those some of those chairs, by the way, in the mezzanine section? They look like the original chairs from when the ballpark was built, when people were all like 5'5", and your ass was this skinny. And now you get these big fat dudes trying to get their asses in those chairs in Fenway. It doesn't look like
sometimes
it would work.
Sometimes even a 5-year-old can't
get
in.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe we should knock off the fast food. Yeah. Why are we blaming the chairs? Those chairs are the sizes that we're supposed to be. I mean, it's not like that the 1700s when everybody was like 4'11". Yeah. This is only like 40, 50 years ago or whatever, you know. So, but, you know, we try to keep up with the Yankees, so we got to jam as many people as we can. And,
yeah.
And you know, we spend $150 million and we're still... Somehow those guys still dwarf us every year with like the amount of money that they're spending.
Yeah, you just had the series last week, and one of the great baseball rivalries, they talk about the Cubs and the Cardinals series. And you're going to go to the ballpark today and see our new place, is that right?
Check it out. It's a big thing with me. I've been to pretty much all of them. I went to Busch Stadium, the old one, like three times. I like that one.
Yeah, well, this is a completely different experience. And Casey Stengel, when he was here in the 1960s, they asked him what he thought of Busch Stadium. He said, well, it holds the heat well. And this is a completely different sort of situation.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Absolutely.
As far as like the Cubs-Cardinals rivalry, I don't understand. You guys don't even ride those guys. Like the way Yankee fans rode us, they were dressing up like Babe Ruth, then chanting 1918. You're just too nice out here in the Midwest.
Yeah,
if you guys
were
like from New York, Boston, Philly, we're like the meanest people. We'd be dressing up like goats, just every time they came.
Dressing up like
it'd be
Bartman.
Like goat boy.
Yeah.
You get a couple of guys dressed up like Steve Bartman once in a while.
You know what they should dress up? They should dress up like the five other dudes who were also going for the ball who were standing around. That guy. Everybody went for it. You know what I mean? We were just talking about that.
One guy gets nailed.
And then the shortstop boots it. There, Buckner, he gets off for free. Yeah. I bet Buckner prank calls whoever that shortstop is every day. You lucky SOB just clicks on him.
What did you think of the movie Fever Pitch with Jimmy Fallon, which basically chronicled the whole, you know.
I'll tell you about that movie because I didn't even watch it. That movie's the reason why the Red Sox had to win it, because they had turned being a Red Sox fan into like a cartoon. Like, I left Boston in 1995. I'd never heard of the Curse of the Babe. We were just like, we suck. We blow it every year. The truth was being spoken when I left. And then it just became this crazy,
all this,
you know,
folklore stuff.
Yes, Dan Shaughnessy wrote that book, and then ESPN jumped on it, and it got so ridiculous. I was saying, you know, you'd literally be watching like the Twins versus the Red Sox in July. We blow a 2-run lead in the 7th, and then Chris Berman be like, oh, in the Curse of the Babe. You can just see the fans. And they just turned this. It was ridiculous. Every time they'd show a Red Sox fan, right, they would always just show misery. And somehow we were all like these lobster fishermen tying sailor knots going, I remember back in 1922. It's like, it's so stupid. Like, I'm from Boston. I hate clam chowder. I've never gone to the Freedom Trail. Somebody told me about St. Louis not to go up into the arch. That was the most terrifying thing I've ever done.
It is kind of scary.
Oh, really? You don't like the elevator, huh?
The elevator, that
Mork from Orson egg that you go up in. And then I love how the structure, it just kind of goes, you know, 20 feet to either side. And to look out the window, you literally have to lay down. Yeah. I felt like the whole thing was going to tip over. The second I got up there, I'm like, I got to get out of here.
Get out of here. By the way, did you ever hear this? There's a lot of people, being that you're from Massachusetts, you got to hear this. I swear to you, this was not surgically altered.
Okay.
This is 1998, and this is Teddy Kennedy speaking on the Senate floor. And this was when the whole home run chase was going on. I swear to you, this was not altered. It's 13 seconds. Listen to this. Okay. Teddy Kennedy.
It is a special pleasure for me to introduce our two home run kings for working families in America, Mike McGuire and Sammy Sosa.
Now, what the hell is going on? Mike McGuire and Sammy Sosa. And by the way, what does it have to do with working families?
Yeah, you know, those guys are rubbing elbows with the Illuminati. They don't have time for baseball. Baseball's bread and circus for all us common people.
Pretty much. Bill Burr, everybody. Thanks. See him tonight.
Yeah, come on down, man. It's going to be a great show.
That is a funny guy, and he has the right attitude about things, too. We've had comedians come into the show. They're like, I don't want to do any of my stand-up. I just want to talk. It's like, okay, you'll sell a lot of tickets doing that. You hear that guy, and you're like, honey, we're going to see Bill Burr this weekend. So it's another one of those cases where we were on the front end of things. We let you know who that guy was very, very early on in the game. And that's it. You got an extra 10 minutes out of me today. How about that? We publish every weekday morning right about 7 o'clock here at jcontheline.com. Absolutely free. Thank you for spreading the word. Please continue to do so. We're in the top 10% of all podcasts in the country right now. Let's keep that going. You can email me at jc@jcontheline.com. Facebook, The Showgram with JC Corcoran. And as you know, we only do politics here when it is absolutely unavoidable. If you miss a show, don't worry. We archive everything. You can binge them right here at jcontheline.com. Thanks to our technical supervisor, Everett Marshall, who always does a great job. We're back tomorrow morning, bright and early at 7. Enjoy your day. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.